Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, yes, yes. Shalom, Chavarim. Shalom, shalom. Yes, I look too close on the mic right there. But yes, I, here, here, here. First day service here. We have the second part here, corresponding here with this first day. Here as we complete third book of Moses, the Hebrew book that is called Leviticus, the handbook of the Levites, as well as the handbook of the priests. The handbook of the priest, you know, the handbook. Oh, let's explain this again, you know, have to go over it a few times, you know, even have to remind I and myself when we say Leviticus, it's the handbook of the priest, but not all the Levites are priests, but they are the ones to whom the holy place, right, is appointed. So we have the sons of Aharon, of Aaron, who are the priests. They are also the anointed ones, bringing out that sense into a New Testament context. They would be the Christians in the camp. They would be the anointed ones in the camp. So here we complete this book, the handbook of the Levites. It's interesting because Levi in the Hebrew, Lewi, Lawa, kind of has a sense of joining, to join, that sense of joining. It goes forward in the script and the narrative to what Moshe said after the ukkari of the molten calf, the Egel Masekah. He said, who is on Yahuwah? Who is on Jehovah's side? And we only had, right, the tribe of Levi, right, who basically answered. You know, so this is kind of a sign that in the whole molten calf incident, that the Levites was not so proactive. Although, there's a big question about Moshe. Like, Moshe and his brother, Aaron, what was Aaron's role in that? But that's a good reason right there here. We'd like to fulfill with the audibles of the double portion, right? Still here in the Torah. I think we ended off with the double portion, the fifth. So we have the sixth and the seventh, and then also for the double portion, the Haftarah, the prophet's reading, and also here for this double portion, we have the Brit Chadasha, or what is referred to as the New Covenant, New Testament readings as well. So it's a double portion right here, here, here. Yes, I, Rastafari. This word from our brother Moshe Levi, a.k.a. Brother Shine. It's an interesting reason that he brings out on Moses.
There's a story about... Yeah. When Pharaoh heard that there was going to be a redeemer for the Israelites, he asked the one of the guys to come and draw. And he said, I want to see what the redeemer is going to look like. And so everybody that came in and drew a picture, he had them killed. And then finally, after like five guys getting killed, the fifth guy's like, listen, you know, I see the same thing these guys see. He says, no, this picture that you're drawing, this person looks disgusting. Looks ugly, looks dark. This can't be this great redeemer that you're talking about. But it was. The point is, Moses had to work on himself. Moses had the ability to be an animal. You know, the what do you say? The nadir of moral depravity. He had that ability to go to the lowest part that a human being can go to, because he also had the ability to go to the highest part. So a lot of people don't get that. A lot of people think being good is just like an automatic thing. Yeah, I'm a great person, so either you're great or you're not. No. A bad person can actually be a tzaddik. He just has to work on himself.
Very, very interesting point right there, that a so-called, from a worldly view, somebody who's a bad person can be a tzaddik. A tzaddik in the English way of saying it, a tzaddik, a righteous one. You know what I'm saying? So... that's interesting there, because often from a Western Gentile, you don't really, most probably ones don't really get that when they studying or reading the Bible. But Moshe Levi right there, a.k.a. Brother Shine Poe, really brings out one of the aspects of growing in grace and the knowledge that comes through with the study and paying attention to the details here. So we're studying this from Ethiopian Hebrew perspective, but first things first. From low degrees, you know, to high degrees, to KJV, highlighting some significant key Hebrew words. But we have this double portion, so we're going to ride up, yeah.
I'm going to testify.
I said, remember what King Pharaoh do to children of Israel. Remember what King Pharaoh do to children of Israel. Judges said to Moses, go down there to free them.
Interesting that Moshe, right, going to the lowest places, right, he has the ability to go to the highest places. I don't know if ones and ones realize that when they go through the narrative because of all the Western Gentile so-called Christianization, you know, foreign themes superimposed over this African Shemitic way. So what we bring out here as we go through the studies is the practical application and really the reality, the real view of interpretation, because some things we mentioned get lost, like in the previous when it speaks about the whole flat nose thing. You know, these are some of the racial points that get drawn out. People say, well, look at it, it must, it's racist, it couldn't be for black folks, whatever, whatever. Well, not the translation so much, at least not the translation the way that it's misunderstood and misapplied. There's a verse where it goes into Exodus chapter 34 where Yahweh, which has a sense of he be, he becomes who he be. Like we say, it is what it is. You know, it is what it is. It is what it is. Well, this is a way of what the Hebrews were saying when they say Yahweh, he be who he be. Now, his revelation to the Hebrews and the Israelites brings out those attributes. One of the attributes is long-suffering. Now, what's interesting about that particular phrase, like with the flat nose, if you look at that verse in the Hebrew, the word nose does not even appear. The word nose does not even appear. And I went through a kind of a build on that from the Hebrew and the Amharic, you know, and it took me a moment to recognize that chant. The word nose doesn't even appear. Doesn't even appear right there. Doesn't even appear right there, you know. But in the verse where it says long-suffering, the literal Hebrew would be erek. In the Hebrew, erek apayin. Erek apayin. One pointing, one dialect, erek apayin. The modern Hebrew pointing would be more like erek apayin. Erek, erek means like long or extended. Long or extended. And ap or af is like the nostrils. The nostril, like a nostril, symbolic of like a nose. Apayin with the yim, the im at the end, makes it like dual. Right? So usually the im on words connotates a sense in basic Hebrew of two, like two or more, right? But usually a duality, right? So apayim or afayim is nostrils. So what it literally is saying in Exodus, let's bring this up right here while ones and ones gather on and we get ready to fulfill this double portion here. We just want to emphasize how a lot of conflicting kind of areas and translations. Say, why does it say this over here? Why it says that? And how it sounds to us, you know, in 2023 English, while generally reading, right, a 1611 version, it reminds me of the part where it says meat offerings. You know that part in the Torah talk about the meat offerings, meat, meat, meat. Now, when we hear that, we think of like that, it's like flesh, right? Did you know that the meat offerings are known in the Hebrew as the mincha? Mincha, modern Hebrew, the mincha, mincha, right? The mincha is actually a grain offering. It's a grain offering, you know? It's a grain offering. And the cognitive dissonance that comes in amongst many of us when we read at the lower stages as we grow in grace and become, you know, more wise to salvation, we begin to recognize that even when it describes the mincha offering, it describes of grain. It's describing grain, you know, but still we hear meat offering. And we'll think today when we hear the word meat, it means flesh and debtors. But back in the 1611 time, in the English that was spoken, the vernaculars and everything, they understood that when they said meat, they meant something edible. And it did not mean flesh, something edible, as proof by the meat offering within the scripture, within the Torah, that actually is a grain offering, or more Levitically correct, is a bloodless. It's actually a bloodless offering. That's why it talks about in Genesis. It says, you know, like the vegetation, the green things for the proverbial, you know, man, you know, humanity, Adam, male and female in Genesis chapter 1. It says that they will eat of like the green things, like the animals will eat of the green things, all the green things, the vegetation. And that shall be what? Meat, right? That shall be the edible, you know, basically food would have been, you know, food would have been a little more appropriate word right there. Just to point that out. So here, when we go to Exodus chapter 34, just to show this right here, right? Because Erekapayim is one of the attributes of he who be who he be. It occurs in Exodus chapter 34, right, where we have a new vision, 34 and 5, and Yahuwah descended. And he who be, right, descended, right, or came down, descended in the cloud, the Anan, and stood with him there and proclaimed the name, the Shem, the Hashem, the name, of Yahuwah, of he who he be. Now, just stop for a moment and let's just read this verse and just break it down, build it up. Just according to what is written here, from low degrees, KJV, to high degrees as we get into the Hebrew and the African Shemitic languages, right? It says that Yahuwah, Jehovah descended. So here saying the euphemistically, pseudonymously speaking, the false name speaking, the Lord, Yahuwah, the correct name speaking, descended in the cloud with him there and proclaimed the name of Yahuwah. So the idea here is that he who he be descended in the cloud, standing there with him, proclaimed Yahuwah. So he who he be, right, descended in the cloud, stood with him there and proclaimed, basically, one could say his own name, right? Proclaimed he who he be. Then it goes to verse 6 and says, Yahuwah passed by, Abar, where we get the Hebrew from, passed by, or in a sense, transcended in a transcendental sense, and passed by, or just moved past, right, before him, and proclaimed, right? So he who be, Jehovah descended in the cloud, stood there and proclaimed the name Yahuwah, Jehovah. And Jehovah, Yahuwah passed by before him and proclaimed. And here's what we have, what is called Judaically, Hebraically, the 13 attributes. Now, the attributes are not literally the name, but they bring out the revelation of the name, the Hashem, Yahuwah, he who be who he be, he who becomes who he becomes, he who was, right, who he was, he who is, who he is, he who will become, who he becomes. That is one of the secrets of the Hashem. The Hashem reveals, as we say, the true Trinity, the Hebrew Trinity, even when he says, I am the Elohim, right, of the three, right, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the power, Ha'el, Ha'el, right, of the Trinity. But here he says, Yahuwah, right, Yahuwah, El Rahum Wehanun Erekapayim Werab Chesed Weemet. That's the Hebrew of the 34 of Exodus. So here it says that Yahuwah passed by before him and again made another proclamation. First he descended, standing there with him, he proclaimed, he be who he be, or it is what it is. And he who he be passed by before him and proclaimed, he who be who he be, he who be who he be, El. In other words, he who be who he be, he who be who he be, El, El, El. El is the Hebrew that's related to the African Shemitic Chayel, 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 as we have the power, Chayel, Ayele, Chayele, El, contracted as El. El is like the almighty power, like the power to say like the God, so to speak, Ha'el, merciful, right? Rahum v'chanun, Rahum, 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 right? Others would say, even the Mohammedans, they say Rahman, Rahman. Here we have Rahum. Rachum is an interesting word. It actually comes from the related word for the womb, the woman's womb, the rachem, right? The matrix, the rachem, because of its sense of yielding, its sense of yielding. And, right, Hanun, Hanun, gracious, from Hannah, like the name Hannah, Hannah, and gracious. Now, this attribute right here, long-suffering. Now, notice how they translate long-suffering. As we mentioned, the Hebrew is rekapayim, and rek means long, extended, and apayim means nostrils or nose. So if they literally translated this like they attempted but failed to do elsewhere in speaking about the disqualifications of the priest, where they mistranslate flat nose, and there we have, the cherum, from the word cherem. Cherem is like something to be destroyed, a sense of destroyed, but it's also, we get the word like harem, like a harem, you know, like a harem, like that which is like secluded, or it's like, if this is cherem to you, right, on my behalf, that means it's destroyed for your use, it's secluded from your use, but it's for my use, like a harem, for example. But it does not have the word nose there, right? Nose there, right? So they translate it as, flat nose, right? But the word nose is not there. This word right here in Exodus 34 and 6, it says long-suffering, yet what's there in the Hebrew is long nose. Now imagine if they decided to attempt to be literal according to what the letter of the law and not the spirit of the law. And notice we use language like that all the time, even in English. We say things in a certain way. We don't mean that literally. Like say, hold your horses. I imagine we say today, hold your horses, and somebody 100 years later on finds us speaking like that. They might be asking, what type of horse was it? You know what I mean? How did they hold the horses? Did the horse, you know, have a harness on it? I mean, how were they, you know, did they hold it? They embraced the horse? You know, a whole bunch of, this is to say what people are doing because they avoid the real work of the linguistic, right? And notice something, the gift on Pentecost, according to the translation, the New Testament of the Bible, right? In addition to the theophanic view, you know, we could say the spiritual, allegorical, perhaps it was literal, you know, the cloven tongues of fire sat upon their heads. But what did it produce? It produced comprehension in linguistics that helped to bring on one accord all the different Israelites from other nations. Israelites, the Jews and the Israelites that were scattered in other nations came forward. And also among those who came forward in that time and that season, as Acts chapter 8 testifies, we have the Ethiopian Judahite, Yehudi, or the Ethiopian Jew known as the official and called the eunuch. So here where it says long suffering literally means long nose, long nostril. Now stop for a moment. How can the word that means long nose or long nostril, right, here be bringing out the sense of long suffering? Well, it has to do with one of the most important things in true spirituality that often is never, ever spoken about among people who are being spiritual, all right? And what's that? It's the breath. It's breath. It's ear. It's wind. It's breath, all right? When we talk about spirit, spirit literally is in the Hebrew ruach, or coming from some of the Romance languages, like even down to Spanish today, espiritus. Espiritus, right, bringing out breath, right, the sense of breath. So long nose has the sense of you're getting angry, take a breath, breathe, right, take a breath, breathe, right. One's anger can be regulated by consciousness of their spirit, or should we say consciousness of their breathing, consciousness of their breath. Very good book that I read and I recommend, you know, in these sort of studies of spiritualities, looking at even some other spiritualities that got some of the principles right, even if before or apart from the Hebrews, but the principle over personality is looking at like the prana yoga and the breath, right? The science of breath. A very good document out there by Rama Karaka, I think his name, Rama Sharaka. It's called The Science of Breath, The Science of Breathing. And the thing that it immediately brought to mind in studying the Hebrew is that when they say spirit, they also are referring to breath, right? And also it's referring to breathing. Even when we say soul, nefesh, it links with the breath. It links with breathing. For example, and if you get upset, you ever get upset? You ever seen somebody get so upset or even affrighted that they pass out? People pass out sometimes, you know, because what happens, like shortness of breath, one gets afraid, one gets upset. They're not breathing normally, right? It offsets their breathing. So what I'm seeking to share right here, that's one of the attributes that's literally called in the translation, long suffering, means long nose, right? Literally long nose, but its application is patience. Take a breath. You know, instead of one just getting angry. So the opposite is true as well when the idea of flat nose. So we have flat nose over here in Leviticus, even though the Hebrew does not have the word nose in it. So what was it speaking about? We get to discern that by comparing with the attribute of Jehovah that's called long-suffering, right? That basically means kind of almost like long-winded or take a deep breath, you know? And ones who understand this know that if they can be conscious of their breath in crisis, they can keep their peace as well. And therefore, their mind, their thoughts can make better decisions, right? But if one is not conscious of their breath, one is not conscious of their life. So long-suffering literally is long nose, because to be long-suffering meant take a breath. You know, but people who are quickly angry, you'll notice they're breathing. It's all in the breath. It's all in the breathing. Anyway, right here, brothers and sisters and brothers, let's pick up right here, you know, with this Torah reading and feeding, since we have a double portion. You know, we have a double portion right here. Let us just get to the fifth aliyah, or the sixth aliyah. We left off with the fifth, right? And the sixth aliyah right here for the second part of the double portion for Bechukotai. In my statutes, a.k.a. in my ordinance, you know. Another point, too, I want to give thanks to, you know, I and I, brother priest Isaac, and also Ikuma and Ras Isern and Ras Akwame, a reasoning on the Priest Isaac Institute, the Rasta Round Table. We're speaking about Christianity, its origins, and some very good reasonings and research. I was asked a question about testament, you know, where this word came from, you know, like how this word, and we had to acknowledge that the word testament, we say New Testament, Old Testament, that both in the Hebrew and the other African Shemitic language, the word used, for example, in the Hebrew for like New Testament is Berit Hadasha. Berit is covenant. Hadasha simply can be interpreted as new, but Hadasha, the sense of new, Hebraically, African, Shemitically, has a sense of renewed. So it really more is of the sense of renewing a covenant. And we have a sense of the new covenant, even in the old covenant, to the incident we pointed out to here, speaking about the gold, the so-called, the falsely called, right, the pseudo-called golden calf. See, even the golden calf idea is an idea that has been superimposed on the scripture, but it's not the idea even in the translation of the scripture. It refers to the calf as a molten calf. And in order to understand the significance of the difference, one has to first define what does it mean to be molten. You know, what's this idea of molten? But anyway, brothers and sisters, sisters and brothers right here, let's go to the Shema, give thanks, Queen Makeda, and also Elder Brother Melchizedek right here, here for this audio, Shema in the Hebrew, the Shema Yisrael from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, full of that section there, verse 4 to verse 9, here. You know, when they say about Yeshua, a.k.a. Jesus, he's the same today, yesterday, forever. What's his instruction? What's that instruction of his majesty?
My advice to all is to fulfill the Ten Commandments.
So the audible right there in the Hebrew, by Queen Makeda right there, the Shema Yisrael, the full of four, that was Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, what's known as the Great Commandment. Hear, O Israel, Yahuwah Eloheinu, he who be who he be, Yahuwah Elohim, Yahuwah Echad, he who be who he be, the one. Verse 5 to verse 9, the full of that right there, that she brought out in the Hebrew. It says, and thou shalt love Yahuwah Eloheka, he who be who he be, thy Elohim, with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Verses 6 here to 9 brings out the sense of the instruction and the warning. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. It's a little interesting note. When they say you learn something by heart, what does that imply? Learning something by heart implies almost like memorizing, right? And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, sense of diligently with repetition and attention to detail, to thy children, to thy sons. And shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, thy bait, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest lay down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. It's interesting that this sense here brings out the sense of the first eye. You know, the first eye that they call the third eye, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Verse 9, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. That means these ancient Hebrews and Israelites had to be on some level literate, because otherwise if you was illiterate, how could you write this, right, on the mezuzot, on the like doorposts you know, of your house. But here, to ride up here, second part of this double portion here at the 33rd degree, sabbatical study.
My advice to all, is to fulfill the Ten Commandments.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel?
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Adonai Echad.
And here. Third book of Moshe, Hebrew book, called Leviticus, chapter 27, is the Rabbi'i, the fourth Aliyah for this Shabbat, Shabbat Bechukotai, Senbet Besarate. Why Dabari Yahweh El Moshe Leimor? Concerning vowed, livicated, dedicated persons and thanks. And the Yahweh, he who be spake to Moshe, Leimor, saying, speak to the B'nai Yisrael, the children, the sons of Israel, and say to them, when a man shall make a singular vow, a votive offering, the persons shall be Layahuah for Jehovah by thy estimation valuation. And thy estimation valuation shall be of the male Zakar from 20 years old even to 60 years old. Even thy estimation shall be 50 shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary. And if it be a Nekeba, a female, then thy estimation valuation shall be 30 shekels. And if it be from 5 years old even to 20 years old, then thy estimation valuation shall be of the Zakar, the male, 20 shekels, and for the Nekeba, the female, 10 shekels. And if it be from a month old even to 5 years old, then thy estimation shall be of the Zakar, the male, 5 shekels of kesef, of silver. And for the Nekeva, the female, thy estimation valuation shall be 3 shekels of silver. And if it be from 60 years old and above, if it be a Zakar, a male, then thy estimation valuation shall be 15 shekels. And for the Nekeva, the female, 10 shekels. But if he be poor than thy estimation valuation, then he shall present himself before HaKohen, the Kohen, the priest. And HaKohen, the Kohen, the priest, shall value him according to his ability that vowed. Shall HaKohen, the Kohen, the priest, value him. And if it be a beast whereof men bring an offering Layahuah to Jehovah, all that any man giveth of such Layahuah to Jehovah shall be holy, set apart. He shall not alter it, nor change it, a good for a bad, or a bad for a good. And if he shall at all change beast for beast, then it and the exchange thereof shall be holy, set apart. And if it be any unclean beast of which they do not offer a sacrifice Layahuah to Jehovah, then he shall present the beast lifnei kahin hakohen, before HaKohen, the priest. And HaKohen shall value it, whether it be good or bad, as thou valuest it, who art HaKohen, the Kohen, the priest, so shall it be. But if he will at all redeem it, then he shall add a fifth part, 20%. thereof to thy estimation, thy valuation. And when a man shall sanctify Beto, his house, to be holy, set apart la Yahuwah to Jehovah, then HaKohen, then the Kohen, the priest, shall estimate it, whether it be good or bad. As HaKohen, the Kohen, the priest, shall estimate it, so shall it stand. And if he that sanctifieth it will redeem Beto, his house, then he shall add the fifth 20% part of the money of thy estimation, valuation, to it, and it shall be his.
Yes, 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 and here, the seventh aliyah here for the double portion. On that previously, on the vows and the shekel, like to deal some weights, interesting weights and measures, you know, ancient weights and measures. But here.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel?
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad,
Adonai Echad, Adonai.
And here at verse 16 is the Hamishi Aliyah for this Shabbat Bechukotai Senbet Besarate. Here at verse 16. Ve'ima miyasideya echuzato yakadish ish la Yahuwa ve'haya erepeta lefiya zaro zara chomera seorima bachemishima shekel Kasef, here for the Hanishi Aliyah, Anaphora, offering up at verse 16. And if a man will sanctify La Yahuwah to Jehovah, some part, of a field of his possession, then thy estimation, valuation, shall be according to the seed thereof. And Homer of barley seed shall be valued at 50 shekels of kesef of silver. If he sanctify his field from the year of Yovel, Jubilee, according to thy estimation, valuation, it shall stand. But if he sanctify his field after the Yovel, after the jubilee, then HaKohen, the Kohen, the priest, shall reckon to him the money according to the years that remain, even to the year of the Yovel, the jubilee, and it shall be abated from thy estimation, thy valuation. And if he that sanctifies the field will in any wise redeem it, then he shall add the fifth, 20% part of the money of thy estimation to it, and it shall be assured to him. And if he will not redeem the field, or if he has sold the field to another man, it shall not be redeemed any more. But the field, when it goeth out in the jubilee, HaYovel, shall be wholly set apart, LaYahuwah, to Jehovah, as a field devoted, I voted. The possession thereof shall be HaKohen's, the Kohen's, the priest. And here, for the Sheshi, the sixth, the Aliyah, for Shabbat Abihukotai, Sendet Bezerate, here at verse 22. With Maeta Sede, Mika Nato, Asheloa, Misede, Echuzato, Yakadisha, La Yahuwah. Here for the Sheshi, the sixth Aliyah, Anaphora, offering up for this Shabbat Abihukotai, here at verse 22. And if, amen, sanctify La Yahuwah to Jehovah, a field which he hath bought, which is not of the field of his possession, then HaKohen, the Kohen, shall reckon to him the worth of thy estimation, even to the year of HaYovel, to the year of Jubilee, the Jubilee. And he shall give thine estimation, valuation in that day as a holy thing, a set-apart thing, LaYahuwah, to Jehovah. In the year of HaYovel, the year of the Jubilee, the Jubilee, the field shall return to him of whom it was bought, even to him to whom the possession of the land did belong. And all thy estimations, valuations shall be according to the shekel of the sanctuary. 20 gerahs shall be hashekel. The three things which are Yahweh's, he who be, we be, HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem's, absolutely first. The firstlings of the beast, verse 26. Only the firstlings of the beast, which should be the Yahweh's firstling, no man shall sanctify it, whether it be ox or sheep, it is the Yahweh's. And if it be of an unclean beast, then he shall redeem it according to thine estimation, according to thine valuation, and shall add a fifth, 20%, part of it thereto. Or if it be not redeemed, then it shall be sold according to thy estimation, according to thy valuation. Second item, any dedicated, rephrase, any livicated thing, verse 28, notwithstanding, no devoted, I voted thing, that a man shall devote, I vote, La Yahuwah, to Jehovah, of all that he hath, both of man and beast, and of the field of his possession, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted, I voted thing is most holy, most set apart, La Yahuwah, to Jehovah. And here, for the Shabbi, Aliyah, for the seventh Aliyah, for this Shabbat, Bechukotai, Sendet Besarate, here, at verse 29. Kol Heresh Asher Yahram Mina Ha'adam Lo Yipade Mot Yumat. Here for the Shabi'i Aliyah, the seventh Aliyah here at verse 29. None devoted, none I voted, which shall be devoted, I voted of men, shall be redeemed, but shall surely be put to death. Third item, all the tithes of land, tree, and beast. Of land, tree, and beast. Verse 30. And all the tithes of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Yahweh's, he who be, who he be. It is holy, set apart, la Yahuwah, to Jehovah. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth 20% part thereof. And here we have the Maftir, at verse 32. We call la ma'isara bakara wa so'on kola ashara ya'ibora tachata hashaveta ha'etzeria yihye kodesh la'yafwa. For the Maftir here at verse 32. And concerning the tithes of the herd or of the flock even, of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy, set apart la Yahuwah to Jehovah. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy, island set apart. It shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which Yahweh, he who be, we be, divine majesty, commanded Moshe for the Bnei Yisrael, the sons, the children of Yisrael, Bihar Sinai, in Mount Sinai. And thus completes Chazak, Chazak, Onita Chazik, thus completing here the third book of Moshe, the Hebrew book that is known as Leviticus, the Sefer Vayikra, the Orit Zelewawiyan. Kabur l'kalu, kabur l'dinsu, kabur l'haylu. Glory be to the word, the sound, and the power. Kabur l'abinu, l'melkeinu. Glory be to Ainai Father, Ainai King. Kabur l'kadamawi, chay l'slasi. Glory be to the first power of the Trinity. B'shem Yeshua, HaMoshiach. In the name of Jesus Christos, Ketachin. Amen.
There's a lot of work to be done. Oh gosh, in the promised land, in the promised land.
Baruch atah Yahweh, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu Torat emet, vayeolam metei, vatokanu. Baruch atah Yahweh, no pain heart or
shame. One who have left very important words tonight, even concerning the most important issues facing us right now. The relatedness of the nations, the relatedness of the families of the earth, the Hebrew people who went through all the different nations and became the dispersed of the diaspora. And the coming together now is very, very important. And it must be sincere and genuine. For even the Old Testament said, with those who are grown in the house of Israel, even as strangers among the house of Israel, and keep the traditions of Israel, and keep the faith of Israel, and keep the covenant of Israel. Ah, here I am, the King of Israel. Blessed Lord.
But we was with him.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel, O children of Israel? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? The Ethiopians, are ye not?
Children of the new covenant, EIO Israel, Jarastafari is the one. Blazing tongue of flame, get out you till so you know your name come. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that have shown no mercy. For mercy rejoices against judgment, in secret ridicule. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that he should show forth the praises of him who is called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Having good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, that they may be ashamed and falsely accuse your good conversation in Jah. You can of the new name covenant. Here I am, Israel, the Rastafari is one, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of Jah, and if it first begin at I and I, what shall be the end of them that obey not Jah? Behold the hire of the laborers who have reaped down the field, which is of you kept back by fraud, riot, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath or army. Children of the new covenant, here I am, Israel, Jah Rastafari is one. Rastafari is one. Jah Rastafari is one. Jah Rastafari is one.
Hear, O Israel, 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 Israel.
Shema Yisrael.
The Lord our God, 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 God.
Adonai Eloheinu, 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 Eloheinu.
Is one Lord, 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 Lord.
Adonai Echad. Adonai Echad. Adonai Echad. Adonai Echad. Adonai Echad. Adonai Echad. Adonai
Echad. Adamawi. Adamawi.
The whole praise is due for
stay tuned for the Haftarah and the Brit Hadash Aliyot. 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 Aliyot.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Bachar B'Nebiim Tobim Veratzah B'Debrehim Hane'amarim ba'emet, Baruch atah Adonai, Habocher ba'Torah, u'Moshe abdo, u'Be'Israel ammo, u'Be'Nebiei ha'emet wa'Tzedek. Blessed art the eye, Adonai, Eloheinu, Eternal King, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed art the eye, Adonai, who chooses the Torah and Moses, his servant, and Israel, his people, and the prophets of truth and righteousness.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
Book of Jeremiah. Chapter 32, verses 6 to verse 27. Lesson Ma'am Wobalet Mafasu Kadus Had Blumlak. And Jeremiah said, the word of Yahweh Buruku came to me, saying, behold, Hanamail, the son of Shalom, thine uncle shall come to thee, saying, buy thee my field that is in Anathoth. For the right of redemption is thine to buy it. So Hanamael, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison according to the word of Yahweh Buruku, and said to me, buy my field, I pray thee, that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is thine, and the redemption is thine, buy it for thyself. Then I knew that this was the word of Yahweh Buruku. And I bought the field of Hanamael, my uncle's son, that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. And I subscribed the evidence, and sealed it, and took witnesses, and weighed him the money in the balance. So I took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open. And I gave the evidence of the purchase to Baruch, the son of Neriah, the son of Maasiah, in the sight of Hanamael, my uncle's son, and in the presence of the witnesses that subscribed to the book of the purchase, before all the Jews that sat in the court of the prison. And I charged Baruch before them, saying, thus saith Yahweh Zebaot, Elohim Israel Buruku, take these evidences, this evidence of the purchase both, which is sealed, and this evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may continue many days. For thus saith Yahweh Zebaot, Elohim Israel Buruku, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Now when I had delivered the evidence of purchase to Baruch the son of Neriah, I prayed to Yahweh, saying, ah, Master Yahweh Buruku, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness to thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty El Yahweh Zebaot is his name, Buruku. Great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even to this day, and in Israel, and among other men, and has made thee a name as at this day, and has brought forth thy people, Israel, out of the land of Egypt, with signs, and with wonders, and with a strong hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with great terror, and has given them this land which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and possessed it, but they obeyed not thy voice, neither walked in thy law. They have done nothing of all that thou commandest them to do. Therefore thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them. Behold the mounts, they are come to the city to take it, and the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans that fight against it, because of the sword, and of the famine, and of the pestilence. And what thou hast spoken has come to pass, and behold, thou seest it. And thou hast said to me, O Master Yahweh Buruku, buy thee the field for money, and take witnesses, for the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Then came the word of Yahweh Buruku to Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am Yahweh HaElohim, the all flesh, the Elohim of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Amen. Let the words of I and I mouth and the meditation of I and I heart be acceptable in thy sight.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. What does Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Achad, Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. The Lord, our God, the Lord is one. What does that really mean? And why is it important, important, important?
Book of Jeremiah, chapter 16, verses 19 to chapter 17, verse 14. Mephesa ma'ab wawalet mephesa kudu sahadu amlak. O Yahweh, Buruku, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in the day of affliction. The Gentiles shall come to thee from the ends of the earth, and shall say, Surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity and things wherein there is no profit. Shall a man make Elohim to himself, and they are no Elohim? Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know. I will cause them to know my hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is Yahweh Buruku, he be who he be. Chapter 17, verse 1. The sin of Yehuda is written with the pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars, while their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hill. O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil. in the high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thy inheritance that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in my anger, which shall burn for ever. Thus saith Yahweh Buruhu, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from Yahweh. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, Bamidbar, in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Yahweh Buruku, and whose hope Yahweh is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, Yahweh Buruku, search the hearts. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Yahweh Buruku, the hope of Yisrael, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken Yahweh, the fountain of living water. Heal me, O Yahweh Buruku, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Ao and Amen.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. What does Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Achad, hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. The Lord, our God, the Lord is one. What does that really mean? And why is it important?
Stay tuned for the Haftarah and the Brit HaChadash Aliyot. Aliyot. Aliyot.
Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. Asher Natan Lanu Moshiach Yeshua Wehabarot Shel Habarik HaChadash. Baruch Ata Adonai Notain Habarik Ha Hadasha. Blessed are you, Lord, our God, King of the universe, who gave to us the Messiah, Jesus, and the commandments of the new covenant. Blessed are you, Lord, giver of the new covenant.
Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael. Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
The Brit Chadasha Chadis Kidan Renewed Covenant reading for RSS number 32, Behar, on the mountain, from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 4, verse 16 through 21. We begin, B'shem Ha'ab, V'Habin, V'Ruach HaKadosh, Yahweh Ahad. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he who be, who he be, the one. Luke, chapter 4, Yeshua, Jesus, in the synagogue at Nazareth. Verse 16, Tau Zain. Verse 17, Yod Zain. Vayaboa el netzeret asher gudal sham vayelek kimishpato biyom hashaba el beit hakneset vayakam likro besefer vayutan lo sefer yishaya hanabi vayiptach et hasefer vayimtza et hamakom asher hayak tubo. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of Adonai Yahuwah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of Yahuwah, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say to them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Kalu, Kabur Ludimtu, Kabur Lachailu, Kabur Laketamawi, Chaile Selassie, by Jesus Christos Sim. Glory to word, glory to sound, glory to power. Glory to Abinu Melkenu, our Father, our King, the first power of the Trinity, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Yes, I, Rastafari.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel.
Shema Yisrael,
Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
The Brit Chadasha, Chadis Kidan, Renewed Covenant reading for RSS 33, Bechukotai, in my statutes. And Matthew chapter 21, verse 33 through 46. We begin, B'Shem Ha'ab, V'Habein, V'Ruach HaKadosh, Yahuwah Ahad, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, He who be, who He be, the One. Matthew chapter 21. Parable of the householder demanding fruit from his vineyard. Verse 33, Lamed Gimel.
Shemao Mashal Acher. Ish Baal Beit Haya Asher Nata Kerem Wayas Geder Sabiblo Wayahto Yekeb Wayeben Migdal Betoko Wayitnehu El Kurmin Wayelek Bederek Me Rahok.
Hear another parable. There was a certain householder that planted a vineyard and hedged it round about, and digged a winepress in it, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants, and beat one, and killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did to them likewise. But last of all, he sent to them his son, saying, "They will reverence my son." But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance." And they caught him, and cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. When the Baal, when the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do to those husbandmen? They say to him, "He will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard to other husbandmen that shall render him the fruits in their seasons." Yeshua Jesus saith to them, "Did ye never read in the scriptures the stone that the builders rejected. The same is become the head of the corner. This is Yahuwah's. This is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, say I to you, the kingdom of Elohim, the kingdom of God, shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on the stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spoke of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet. Kalu, Kabur Ludimtu, Kabur Lachailu, Kabur Laketamawi, Haile Selassie, by Jesus Christos Sim. Glory to word, glory to sound, glory to power. Glory to Abinu Melkenu, our Father, our King, the first power of the Trinity, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Yes, I, Rastafari.
And here, chazak, chazak, be strong, we need chazek, and make I and I, need chazek, make I and I encourage one another, make I and I strengthen one another, is what we say when we complete a book of HaTorah, here completing the third book of the Torah, known as Leviticus, the Sefer Vayikra. We say chazak, chazak, we need chazek, be strong, make I and I be strengthened, or it may be translated from the Hebrew, bringing out the sense of be encouraged, chazak, chazak, be encouraged, nit chazek, and make I and I encourage one another, encourage I and I, you know, iron sharpen iron and going forward in the study. So here.
We have fulfilled all. Praise be to Mesken, Exiavi Yemesken. Yes, Christos.
It's interesting, we're in the harvest season, the counting of the Omer, the season, reason for the season here, also the Torah reading and feeding with the economics, managing the house, the Beit Yisrael. Here, Don Carlos, they are harvest.
Clean out the bad seeds, yeah, and separate them from the good, cause the day of harvest is near. Whoa, 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 whoa. Just shall clean out the bad seeds, yeah, and separate them from the good, cause the day of harvest is near. Whoa, 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 whoa. Woe be unto those that say of Israel, and they are not. Woe be unto those that say they do, and they are not. Cause they shall be cast away like the chaff at the wind.
Harvest. So here in the Torah we have the harvest. The harvest is the fourth of the seven feasts, the appointed feasts and festivals of Jehovah for the children of Israel. So we had Passover, you know, the previous month, what was the fifth? You know, the Passover, April 5th. And it's interesting, according to Ethiopia Kingdom of God, our ministries, you know, child bless the Nebura Id, you know, who had passed away. But the ministry where he brought out the ancient calendar, you know, it seems as though the ancient calendar was more in the Hebraic alignment. For example, here we're coming up on the 14th year right here, you know, here for May 14th. So the Torah says after the morrow, right, of the seventh Shabbat. So it begins right on the very day, right, the count begins on the day, according to the New Testament, when Yeshua was resurrected, that early Sunday, first day morning, right there. So we had in this year almost a direct likeness to that first century time when we look at the calendar. The evening of Wednesday, April 5th, the entirety to April 13th. But here I'm looking at the calendar, the almanac that we publish right here with the calendars in it and some of the basic information, the Ethiopian calendar here for the Ethiopic 2015, aka 7,515 years. The long calendar, 7,515, since the time of the Messiah, within the more of the Christian count, 2015. So here for this 2013, looking at the calendar, and I was thinking for all this theme of harvest, I said, champ, let me just stay up to date on when, you know, when is the Pentecost, what they call Pentecost Day from the Greek. Pentecost Day means the 50th day, because Jah says, seven Shabbats shall you count complete. So counting from the Shabbat, the fullness of the Shabuah, what's called the week, right? We have 1 week, right, after that first day, that offering on the first day. So when Yeshua was risen, this is the same day where they would bring forward the sheaves of wheat, right, to the tabernacle during the festival, the Feast of Pesach. And here looking at the calendar from, let's go right here, the calendar from the Ethiopic month right here of Megabit, which is March to April 2023, right? So here we're in April 5th. Right. What's interesting is that looking at this calendar, looking at April 6th, it has the Elota Hamus, the prayer of the 5th. Hamus is also the name or the reference to Thursday Ethiopically, like biblically. So we find it to be interesting that the Ethiopians for a long time and still, right, even in this time, still keep within their calendar and some of the ancient traditions. both the timekeeping of the scripture, you know, like when it says that Christ was crucified, started from the third hour to the ninth hour, and at the sixth hour, it was an eclipse and an earthquake was reported. If we look at that over here, we'll think it's 3 p.m. or something like that, and the sixth hour would be 6 p.m, and the ninth hour would be 9 p.m. No, actually, the 3 o'clock hour would be 9 a.m. The 6 o'clock hour would be what one's called noon, right? They say high noon, we'll say high six, right? Well, 6 o'clock hour will be high noon, right? And then the ninth hour, right, will be 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And same thing with the days. For example, this is the Ehud, right? The Ehud from the Ahad, which means one, the first day. And then the fifth day, that's called Thursday. So here they have the Tzalota Hamus. Now, the Tzalota Hamus, going from the ancient, we could say Ethiopic and the ancient true church tradition, was to signify that in the time of the Messiah Christ, the whole crucifixion time, that the Thursday was significant. Why was the Thursday significant? Because that actually was the first, represented that first day, right? That first day when Yeshua, right, would have been in the belly of the earth, or called the tomb, literally in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And then on the second day, right, after Pesach, after Passover began, on that Wednesday. That's why in the prophet Daniel says concerning Messiah, he will be cut off, not for his own sake, but he will be cut off in the midst of the week. Because they looked at the week from the first day, that's now they call it Sunday, to the seventh day, that was referred to as the Shabbat day. So we have the first day, second day, third day, and the fourth day would represent that middle of the week, or what is called nowadays, according to other gods, Wednesday, right? But then we have the fifth day, Tzalota Hamus, that prayer of the fifth day. Remember, the fifth day of the week would represent, according to the New Covenant, that would represent after the crucifixion went through, after the Yehudi and the Nazarenes, like the disciples, were afraid. They went into, you know, they hid themselves and everything. And then we get the next day, which is the Friday. Now, Friday, Ethiopically, is known as the Arab. It's kind of interesting that it's called Arab, right? The Arab. In Hebrew, we call the Friday, like for the TJIF, the Erev. Modern Hebrew, they'll say Erev, right? But the ancient pointing, Erev, right? And people say it was Good Friday. Well, for the Hebrews and the Yehudi and those who follow the covenant, right, of Yasharallah, the Friday is always good because that's the time that we prepare for the really good in the Shabuah, that rest time from our work time. But anyway, we get the Thursday, day one, the Friday, day two, and the Saturday, right? The Saturday, right? The Saturday is when he was, you could say, still in the tomb, but that was the third day. That's why when Mary Magdalene, when they went and they rushed, you know, we could say to the, to the sepulcher early, the first morning, first day, the early of the day. I mean, the first day of the Shavuot, the first day of the week, right? They found that it was empty. Now, just a basic math. If he was crucified on, here's where they make it. It's like when Yeshua said to the religious folks of his time, the overly religious but not very righteous Pharisees, Sadducees, the leaders of the so-called, you could say, the religion, right, of that time. He says, y'all, by your tradition, y'all have made the word of God of no effect, the word of Elohim of no effect. In other words, ones make so-called God and even the word that they proclaim a liar. Can you count from Friday 3 days to Sunday? Come on now. I mean, come on. Let's be real. From Friday, right? From Friday. Remember, he said 3 days and 3 nights. So the only way that this truly fits is the right way. That means in that ideal week that the New Testament is recording, the instance that happened to Yeshua HaNotri, Jesus of Nazareth, occurred from the Wednesday was that crucifixion day. And they took him down off of the cross of his tree, the tree of his cross. He took him down because that was when the Passover was beginning, that Wednesday evening, right? And so therefore we have one night. Notice that we have a night there, then we have the fifth day called Thursday, a day, then another night, then another day, then another night, and then we have what? We have the resurrection. You know, so now, since the Sunday or the first day, so from Wednesday, fourth day, Thursday, fifth day, right? Well, Wednesday still was when the incident happened. He was put in the tomb, right, for expedience purpose, because they were beginning the feast, the festival, and the Torah says that when a criminal or somebody is hung or lynched, don't have their body hang around all night, and then it was a high holy day, right? So we have from Thursday, day one, day and night one, Friday, day and night two, and then Saturday, 3 days and three nights. So that first day would be the day, according to Leviticus chapter 23, that would be the day when the Yehudi, when they would bring forward the first fruits, right? That first offering, right? And then as we read in Leviticus chapter 23, it says that after they bring forward that first offering, right, that they would not eat any of the new growth until the fullness of the harvest came in, and they were to count 7 Shabbats complete. So notice the order of it. That means that 7 Shabbats doesn't mean like from Wednesday or from Monday or from Tuesday or from Thursday. No, it had to be from the first day called Sunday to the Shabbat day. That's one Shabbat. Then after the Shabbat day, the seventh day comes the first day, and then another Shabbat, and then 7 of those. And then it says the morrow after the seventh. So doing the quick math on Pentecost, 50th day, 7 times 7, right? That represents the 7 Shabbats, 49 days. And on the morrow after the seventh Shabbat, notice the Shabbat is not changing. It's still the weekly Shabbat, right? And it says on the morrow after the seventh Shabbat, and only of the day after the Sabbath, right, is that first day. So they did observe certain rites and rituals, the Hebrews, on the first day. But it is true. It is true, true, true that in their view, as in our view, right, the first day is just what we call it. It's the first day. So in looking at this in this year, our count would begin from the ninth. Right, it would begin from the 9th of April, right, the 9th of April. And this is what is called, right, from the 9th of April. Now, it's interesting because in the old count, 9th of April, the church this year observes the week after, which is the 16th. So that means for the Orthodox Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church, the Pentecost, or the Ba'ala Memphis Kedus, what's referred to as the Feast of the Holy Spirit in that upper room of Zion, would occur on the 28th of May. But according to the Hebrew count, the harvest would be the week, right, would be the week before, right? So what we have is the 9th is the first Shavuah, right, the first week. The 16th of April, right, would be the next week, the 23rd of April, the 3rd, the 4th, the 30th of April, leading into May, the 7th, right, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the 7th, right, then we have right here the 6th, right here, the 14th, this day, the 14th, and then, so according to what is written, if we were in the land, it would be on the 21st here in the season, because this would be seven Shabbats complete, right? And on the morrow after, right, the seventh Shabbat, so the Shabbat of May 20th, right, 2023, represents the true Hebraic calculation of Shabuot. It's called Shabuot. Shabuot mean Shabuas. Shabua is a week or 7 days, right? The Sabbath is also sometimes referred to as those full 7 days as a set. 6 days you shall work and the seventh day. So if you notice, even the Shabbat command is connected with the other 6 days. Often people think it's just rest, but the command says 6 days you shall work. So in other words, work is also part of the command. But anyway, just to share that right there, seeing that we're here in this season here, completing this book right here, and rise up right here with the psalm appointed for the first day, also for theme of the earth and agriculture and the fruit of the earth and the glory. Yes.
This is Psalm 24 without apology. Muta Maruka and Luciana, trust me.
Yes, it's the Lord and the fullness thereof.
The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof.
Wild and they that
the world
there
and they that dwell therein. For he had found it upon the sea.
He had born and he done the sea.
And established it upon the flood.
Established it on the flood.
Who shall ascend in the hill of
Jah? Shall stand in the hill?
Or who shall stand in his holy place?
Who shall stand in the holy place?
He that hath clean hands and a pure heart.
And heart.
Who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor scorned his people. He hath received the blessing from Jah and righteousness from the Almighty of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him.
This is the generation that seek him the most high God.
That seek thy face, O Jacob.
Seek thy face, O Jacob.
Lift up your head, O ye gates.
Oh, lift up
and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in.
And the King of glory shall come in.
Who is this King of glory?
I say, who?
Emperor Haile Selassie.
The King of glory.
Just strong, mighty. Just mighty in battle.
I say, mighty in battle, mighty in war.
Who is the King? I say, who?
Lift up your head, Zoe Gates. Even lift them up.
Everlasting doors. Be lifted up.
And the King of glory shall come in.
And the King of glory. Yes, the King of glory shall come in.
Who is this King of glory?
Emperor
Haile Selassie. He is the King of glory.
Who is the King of glory?
Jah Rastafari. King of glory.
Who is the King of glory?
Who is the King?
Who is the King of glory?
Who is the King of glory?
Emperor Haile Selassie.
Emperor
of Ethiopia. King of kings. Lord of lords. Conquering lion in the tribe of Judah. He makes up himself. Light of the world.
Yes, we have died.
African Zion. So we wanted to speak about weights and measures too. This is probably an ongoing study, but I hope one finds this to be interesting, that we have our own system of weights and measures, right? And here in His Imperial Majesty's Bible right here, the Book of the Seven Seals, what we call, based on the revelation of the prophecy, the Book of the Seven Seals, conquering line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. So here, just a little bit on weights and measures. I find this to be interesting. There's a kind of, I don't know if we would call it insurance, but it kind of is similar to when people insure, you know? So we have here in these chapters here, we have a system of estimations called estimation in the translation, or valuation, you know, estimation and valuation. Now, getting to the basic weights and measures, we're going to use this as a little example right here before going into unpacking what we can right here on the ear and in the eye. We have the shekel. What is a shekel? All right, let's touch on what is a shekel. First of all, from His Imperial Majesty's Bible, there's this section here. It's like a page in His Majesty's Bible between the end of the Old Testament, right, and before the beginning of the New Testament. And Balmarinya, it says, Kaleloch Lesanat Yetewesedu Yebului Kidant Reik Alat Meglecha. Kaleloch, from other Lesanat. Lisan in the Hebrew, Lisan means tongue. Like from a Gutter's expression, the Lisane, the tongue of Negus Neges, like the Lisane, the tongue, say the language. But literally tongues. In the Hebrew, we say lashon. From the Ge'ez, lisan. Lisanat would be like languages. So kaleloch, from others, lisanat, from other tongues, yete wesedu, wesede means to take, yete wesedu, they which were taken. So taken from other tongues, ye belui kidan. Ye is like a preposition that means of. So of belui. Belui has a sense of old, or even a sense of like that which was like worn or old in that sense. Kidan. Kidan is covenant. So a sense of the old covenant has a sense of like it was worn or it was used in a sense. Ye belui kidan. Tere, Bamarinya tere is like roar, tere, like tere means roar, right? Kalat, kal in Amharic means word. The kalat is a good construction. Kalat means words in Amharic, that would be kaloch. Like lisanat is a good construct in Amharic. It would be more better, lisanoch. So here we have terek alat, tere, raw words, meglecha, from geleta. Geleta means to reveal, and meglecha is that which reveals something, like a description, almost like it's another word I'm missing, but almost like a content, almost like the table of content that which reveals what it's about. So here it has like two main columns, right? And each section has like the terekal, the raw word, and then it has meglecha. So zooming in on Balmarinya, shekel is brought out in the Amharic of the King of Kings Bible as Sekel, right? Not syllabated as the Hebrew shekel, but sekel, right? And it comes from the root sekele. Sekele, it's interesting because we say meskel. Some of you know that, you know, the true cross, right? You could say the true cross looks like a plus sign, and the fake cross, that's the Latin cross, it looks like a sword. But the true cross. So meskel means cross, but it comes from the idea of hanging, the sense of hanging, or something is suspended, like when they when Yeshua said that, you know, the law and the prophets hang on these, are suspended, sekelet, you know, sekel. Then we have meskel, that which is like kind of hanging or stretched forth. As you can see, a plus sign. When you look at the plus sign, how the plus sign, a plus sign is equal on all its sides, right? That's the true cross right there. So we have sekel here, and here it says in the megalecha column, in the revelation or explanation, it says, Yekubdet mizan asara arat gram yahilno. Yekubdet. Kubdet is to say like a heavy, kubdet like a heavy scale, right? A heavy scale is like a heavy weight, right? Kubdet. In some versions, kubdet was almost like a pound in a sense, you know, but it comes from kubdet, kubdet. Right, kabada. Interesting, the Hebrew have the word kabod or kabad, kabad. When we say kabod, right, that he is melech ha-kabod. In the first day Psalm, Psalm 24, he is kubrnegus. He is the king of glory. He is the king of kabod, kabod. So kabod has a sense of glory. But what's interesting about this even more so is this term called gravity. So Isaac Newton and his gravity. He basically chose, since he was a Christian and the Bible was what they referred to and they studied the Greek and the Hebrew, it was a very intellectual thing in some parts of Europe. So it provided a background for science and knowledge, even if they disputed some of their own interpretations or translations. He chose a word from Greek that basically is the equivalent of the word for heavy. It's like when we say gravity, like we say someone has, the majesty has a gravitas about it, you know, like a kind of a heaviness, like a seriousness, right? But it basically means weight, right? So some call it gravity, we call it weight, right? So yekubdet, a heavy mizan of the heavy scale, right? Or the weight, the heavy scale, right? Yekubdet, a mizan. Mizan is scale. Asara. Asara is 10 and arat. Asara arat is 10 and 4, 14. So it says on the heavy scale, asara arat gram. Right? It is 14, right? 14 gram, yahilno. About 14 grams. So the shekel here is saying that one shekel, right, in the conversion scale here, according to the King of Kings, is 14 gram. 14 asara arat gram yahil. Yahil is approximately, about, to say yahil no, is about. It's about 14 grams. So that means when we hear some things like, we hear it says, for example, within the narrative that our brother Ras Ahad read from, what was that? That was Jeremiah 32:9, right? That went with the Behar Torah portion. 32:9, it speaks about how Jeremiah was instructed by Jehovah to kind of symbolically but actually make a certain purchase. And we see almost a little insight into even ancient business. You know, when we read the Jeremiah portion right here, let's just bring this out right here, just to zoom in on some practical application. This, he says, and I bought the field of Hanamel, my uncle's son that was in Anatot, and weighed. See, here's the thing. What did he do? He weighed, right? Weighed him the money. So the shekel in the Hebrew is the name of, the, we could say, the currency. But the currency had a weight. That's why if you study the Torah, it would say that the shekel according to the sanctuary. So that means the sanctuary, the Levites, the holy place, also determined by weights and measures. Right? So even the weights and measures, I'm not going to say it was holy in that sense of what people think of holy, but it was very sacred. right? The ordering of weights and measures. So he weighed him the money, right? The word for money in the Hebrew is kesef, kesef, or sometimes pointed as kashef. Kesef is silver, but silver slash money. We use the example of Ethiopia and the bur. Bur actually means silver, right? Bur, right? As a metal, as an ornament, but here in the scripture, referring to money. So it says that he weighed him the silver. He weighed him the silver, and the silver weighed to 17 shekels of silver. So it says, and he weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver, or more Hebraically, he weighed him the silver, even 17 shekels of silver. Now, the shekel is the chief unit of weight or measure. Some bring it out as 1/3,000th of a talent. Some say it was equal to 132 grains, right? In the copper sense of shekel, it was 1/1,500 of a talent. So of the copper weight, 528. So basically, it was a sort of an ancient kind of a commercial or commerce, a commerce standard that we find certain civilizations, ancient civilizations or civilizations of ancient roots like Ethiopia still utilizing, right, even up until the last of the imperial times before the rebellion in 74-75. Well, then it was based on silver. Now it's based on fiat currency. That's why when we look at the economics in Ethiopia and other places, it'd be going up and down and be all wild because it's not really valued on anything. This is what His Imperial Majesty Kemalu Haile Selassie was seeking to resist, right, on behalf of the good of Ethiopia, Africa, and all humanity. But there were certain careless Ethiopians. You hear about them talking about the old man. They want to get rid of the old man. He was too conservative for them because they had educated abroad and drank the Kool-Aid, and they wanted to change certain things in the system. Plus, Babylon did not like the fact that Ethiopia, coming from near obscurity in a couple of centuries during the time of His Majesty, where Ethiopia's bur or Ethiopia's silver currency, silver dollar, was almost 1-to-1 with the Western Gentile dollar that was based on the gold standard. Now, not to get into the details here, but think about this. His Majesty's currency, or the currency of Ethiopia during the Negusa Neges Zemin, the time of the King of Kings, was virtually 1-to-1 with the Western Gentile currency, or the dollar bill, before Nixon. Richard Nixon took the U.S. currency and the world backup currency off of the gold standard in Bretton Woods, you know, that Bretton Woods agreement, where he took it off of the – so that meant that the U.S. dollar was backed by gold up until that time in the 1970s. And then they shifted up, and they then rated the value of the United States dollar based on the petrol, based on oil, right? One of the main fuels for this Babylonian economy, the oil. So it became the petrol dollar. But from approximately, we could say 1930, beginning a little before then, up until roughly 1974-75, the Ethiopian currency, and we could say economics and business, both amongst herself and her sister nations, African nations, and we in the diaspora, had improved and gained so much traction based on real commodity that the silver currency was 1-to-1 with the gold standard. What did they do? They changed the gold standard. So part of the rebellion by those who were the careless Ethiopians was their believing that they need to change the currency. His Majesty refused the currency. They say, when you want to find out about evil in the world, right, just follow the money, right? Many people have avoided this in their speculations about what was going on in Ethiopia, what happened to Haile Selassie's country and the empire and everything else, and they forget the most important ingredient, right, within the world as is, and that's following the money, right? And this all became clear as we went into biblical studies and said, wow, the Hebrews rate their economy and the ancients by silver. Right, the Ethiopians used the bur. Then in noticing how the economy of Ethiopia began to improve over the decades and notice where it was last before the rebellion, the coup and the rebellion came full, right, it was almost 1-to-1. That is something that if you look at it more economics and it's interesting, that was a great achievement. But back to the shekel for a moment. Shekel, right? Shekel, as we mentioned already, shekel is the chief unit of weight or measure, right? And it's based on the weight or the measure, right, of silver, right? As he weighed him, the silver, and then the silver at the weight came to what? 17, right? It came to 17 shekels. One more thing, the root of shekel right here. Let's go to the root of shekel right here from shakal. Shakal, the H8254, means to weigh out, to pay out. But remember what we said Ethiopically, sekele means to suspend, to hang. Think about it. It's basically saying the same thing, a matter of perspective, to weigh. How do they weigh things? You know, on a scale, you weigh it. Something by something else that you understand the weight, you weigh, you hang it, you suspend it. To weigh out, to pay out, to be weighed. So we get to the very primitive root of shakel, right, in the Hebrew, right, or shakel in the Hebrew. And we get the Afro-Semitic correspondence with the Amharic and the Gutas, sekele, to suspend, right? Literally to hang, to suspend. In a figurative sense, it can mean to poise something. Like if you're doing a trade, you might poise what you're going to give somebody for something. I want to buy your land. You don't want to sell it. I bring the silver over. I'm kind of like suspending this before you, like to carry it on the stick, you know, especially in trade. If you receive that, then we have a transaction. So I point this out because we're curious, like, to what would 17 shekels be in an equivalency today to give us some idea of what it's like today. So stay tuned, brothers and sisters, here. Just a Sabbath seal psalm right here, Psalm 144 right here.
Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth.
that our daughters may be as cornerstone, polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord.
Yes, 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 yes. So I just have to acknowledge this right here that I did some quick math on the Jeremiah part, but then in reading over the Amharic again, I was measuring it at 24 grams instead of 14, So that kind of threw off, you know, my end figure. So I'm going back to the measurement by 1 gram. They say 1 gram of a bar of silver. They say basically in today, May 12th to 14th, in this present time, is valued at 77 cents, 1 gram, right? 1 gram bar of silver is prorated at 77, just to give a kind of example. So if we take the 17 shekels, at first I did it at 24 grams, which might be a little bit more so because we're going by, you know, what the economies and, you know, the fluctuating values of it, but just getting a sense, right? So my first measurement for Jeremiah 32:9, I said, okay, well, I wonder how much, you know, how much, what would that cost be, you know? And not taking into account inflation and these other Western Gentile things, but just to get an idea, 17 shekels. Right. What would 17 shekels be? Remember, the shekel is the weight of the silver. So therefore, we're trying to evaluate what is the value of silver. For example, silver at 100 grams, right, at 100 grams is kind of rated at something of the level of $77.16, right? At about 1,200 grams, it is said to be something like, I think, $925.92, a little bit less than, you know, $1,000. I point this out because when they were giving the valuation of a male 20 to 60 years old, they say for him, if he vows, that is 50 shekels of silver. Now, remember, I was rating this at 24 grams, but in the last example just now, I saw that it was an error there. It was Asara Arat and not Haya Arat. So that's 14. But my first figure came to 24 at 24 grams, right? 24 grams per shekel, 17 grams would be roughly something of the order of 408. And that brought the number to something like 314, you know, the price of the land. But then in a kind of a calculation of it, right, at 14 grams, right, per shekel, 17 grams would be roughly 238 grams, right, 238 grams. Remember that a gram, 100 grams, of silver would, you know, roughly be $77.16. 1 gram, they say, would be 77 cents. So this right here would be something in the rough order of $183.26. They might not seem, you know, in today's currency as much, but it's a very interesting kind of a workshop for I and I, you know, to look at the various different measurements, even the offerings, our measurements, and look at the shekel to get a kind of an idea. Remember this here, when they say silver, it meant not paper, not you writing silver on a piece of paper and giving to someone. You had to actually have, you know, as we would say, that silver, so to speak, in hand. But anyway, right here, we're already in the grace period. And this is a double portion, so there's a lot of very interesting subject matter. But just to keep things as orderly and decent as possible, we touched on the synopsis to the second of the double portion, the 33rd of the Hukotai. Let's go through some basic Q&As right here. Q&A, something's old, something's new, but all things true. So right here, Shema.
Oh, the nay. But here, basic questions here for a bit. Hukotai, Hukotai, in my hawk, in my Hukotai, my statutes. Basic questions here, 33rd degree for this Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong. Basic question one, what is the Hebrew word for statute? Statute. And what does it mean, Chaverim? The Hebrew word for statute is hawk. Hebrew word for a statute is chok, and it means a decree, something inscribed, said to be a decree that's inscribed without reason. In other words, it's a divine fiat, like let it be, so be it. The plural for chok is chukim. Let's do this right here, brothers and sisters and brothers. Let's just bring up the BDB and the Strong's Concordance. So let's just type right here in the My Sword statute and make a distinction between statute and statute. You know, English is a funny language right here. You know, so just to avoid confusion. So statute, right? So we have statute. In the first place, we find statute in the scripture, quite interesting, is in Bereshit, the first book of Moshe, Hebrew book known as Genesis. Genesis chapter 26, verse 5, the English KJV says, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And the laws right there is Torotai. So we have even the Torah before Moshe's Torah. But here in Genesis 26, verse 5, it says, because that Abraham obeyed. Because he did what? He Shama. Like we say, Shema Yisrael. So usually it's like heard. We can also bring it out as heard. But the word heard, Shama, and also obeyed, they're very close. It's like hearing and obeying. Because that Abraham Shamad obeyed, heard my voice, Koli, and kept my charge, Mishmeret, my charge. My commandments, mitzvotai, my imperative, my mitzvot, and my statutes, chukotai. So we have the chukotai, we have chuka right here. A statute, an ordinance, here we're looking at the H2708, according to the BDB, Brown's Driver's Briggs Concordance, statute, an ordinance. A limit, enactment, something prescribed, pre-written, prescribed, a statute. Now, the H2708, here we have hukah, it's the feminine form of the noun, it's a noun feminine, right, coming from the H2706, so we have the H2708, hukah, and this comes from the H2706, hawk, right, hawk. Can also be pointed as hek, and this is why we asked the question concerning the hek shaus, right, and even in ancient Mitzrayim, you know, there was the two symbols of the ruler, right, of the so-called United Kingdom of the two mitzvahs, Mitzrayi. That was mainly the cow prod and the shepherd's rod. We have the cow prod, the chu, known as the chu in the Rayan Chomet in the language of Egypt, and we have the hek, right, the shepherd's, you know, the shepherd's rod. Very interesting. But here we have a hawk, right, getting to the groundation, because even in ancient Egypt we have the noun, but Afro-Asiatically we have to get to the Shemitic to find the verb, the proper verb. This is how we know which linguistic or language, no doubt, probably was the root language for those descendants, according to the scripts, of Noah. But here, let's get to the root here, hawk, right? Shepherd, king, shepherd, rulers, shepherd, rulers, the shepherd's rod, that symbol of rulership. Anyway, statute. Here we have it in the Hebrew, hawk as statute, ordinance, limit, something prescribed, something that's due. Some of the context of a hawk is a prescribed task. A prescribed task, right? A prescribed task, a prescribed portion. Action that is prescribed, especially in the sense here of for oneself. Resolve, the sense of an action prescribed for oneself, brings out the sense of resolve. Prescribed due, that which is due, that is prescribed, that is due. Prescribed limit, a boundary. An enactment, a decree, an ordinance, in the sense of a specific decree, secondarily a law in general. Enactments, statutes. For example, enactments and statutes like conditions, like terms and conditions. Enactments, decrees. Civil enactments that are prescribed by Elohim. Now that's the Brown's Driver's Briggs. Strong's definition brings it out right here for the H2706, which is the noun masculine. So we have the noun masculine as hawk, and a noun feminine as chukah. Here we're looking at chok, right? An enactment, hence an appointment. So a chok, a statute, is an enactment in the sense of an appointment of time, appointed time. An appointment, chok, of space. A chok, an appointment of quantity or labor or usage. Some of the ways in which this word is brought out in the KJV translation is appointed. In some places, it's translated as appointed. In other places, as bound. In some places of the KJV translation, it's even translated as commandment or convenient or custom or decree or decreed or due or even as law. So hawk, according to the KJV Latter-day translation, might be even brought out as law. Measure, necessary, ordinance, ordinary, portion, set time, statute, and task. And here's where the confusion might can be imagined, because based on the translator and the translation, we find that the inconsistency of translating certain words creates confusion, right, in trying to understand, well, what's actually consistently being said from the Hebrew scriptures based on the translation. Here's where the proverbial loss in translation can really be best applied. Generally speaking, the KJV, generally speaking, gives a general idea, but from our general 400 plus year history, we can see how that general idea can be misplaced and wrong, especially in the other people's interpretations among the Gentiles. So we're going to just bring that out right there, that it's the inconsistency of translation. Because if you come across one of those places, we talk about Torah, right? Torah is often like law, is often translated as Torah, the word Torah as law. So you find that those few places where hawk is the underlying word, you think it's speaking of Torah. And then you might find inconsistencies because you say, well, the law, it says law here, it says law there, so this must be Torah. But you have to go to the source code. In going to the source code, the Masoretic, you'll find whether that translation is consistent. But here we have the H 2706. So we started out first with the feminine form of the chok, right, as chuka. Then we went to right here the masculine form of statute, chok. But let's also now go to the H 2710. Now here we're going to get the verb. So we just touched on two nouns. We have chok, right, or chek, chok, right? And then we have chuka, right? Chuka, the chok is the masculine noun, and chuka is the feminine noun. But where's the verb? Here, we got the verb right here, here, here. The H2710. H2710, we have chakak, chakak, chakak. Interesting. What does chakak mean? Chakak, the BDB, Brown's Drivers Briggs concordance and definition, brings it out straight to the point. To cut out, to decree, but to inscribe, to set, to engrave, right? This is why when we brought out hawk meaning a decree, quote, inscribed, end quote, something that's inscribed. So hakak actually means to hack. And like we can compare with the English, right, and get a good parallel. The word hack, right, in English, right, brings out the Hebrew sense of the chakak, 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 right, or chakek, right, chakek, chakak, to hack out, to inscribe, to engrave, right, to also portray something. But then also this sense of this word, that which is hacked out or engraved, can have another sense from the verb of to govern. But the kal root of chakak, right, the 8-27-10, getting to the root of this sabbatical 33rd degree, the title Shabbat Bechukotai, in my statutes, right, in my engravements, in my inscriptions. So the kal, the verb, at the root means to cut in or on, to cut upon, to engrave, to inscribe, or to hack in, to hack upon, to engrave or to inscribe, to trace, to mark out, to engrave, to inscribe, for example, of a law, a Torah, a law, right, or direction, instruction, right? So we get the inscribe, inscriptions, which then the ancient inscriptions become type of enactments. One who decrees, a lawgiver, well, this is now the sense of one who does this, right? So something decreed, right, which it could be Torah, right, could be a Torah, direction, instruction, but the key idea here is to hack. So the chok, right, the statutes, this is why Judaically, right, in Latter-day Judaism, sometimes they explain the chok as meaning a decree, something inscribed without reason. And they usually add this idea without reason, right, because usually those chukim, those statutes, don't always appear to be as reasonable or logical, something easily to understand, as elsewhere. We can understand the judgments a little better. You know, you stole from somebody, you give it back. And if you lied about it or stole it, you give it back with a fifth. You know what I mean? You know, you have to like pay a fine. So that makes some sense. You know what I mean? You know, or other areas of scripture. But for example, we have the Parah Aduma, the red heifer. You know, when we look at that right there, we say the red heifer. So I sometimes say, well, the red heifer, Hathor. Anyway, there was ancient inscriptions, ancient engravings. I think this really brings out another aspect as we study the primitive roots right here. So hakak, the primitive root word behind the chukotai and the chok, properly means to hack, that is to engrave, right, to inscribe, right? The laws, right, ancient laws, torot, direction, instructions that were cut in stone or cut in metal tablets in most ancient and primitive times, or in the Kedem, right? When we say the Kedem Hebraically, the first times, the ancient times, the Kedem, right? Generally brought out in the latter sense of the word to prescribe. And here within the translation in HaTorah, the verb often is brought out, the chakak verb root, as a point, decree, the sense of governor, to grave or engrave, a lawgiver, right, a note, portray, a print, set. These are all the ways in which the KJV translation and translating the Hebrew verb hakat brings it out as a point in some cases, decree, governor, grave, that is say engrave, lawgiver, note, portray, to print, to set. So a little extra additional detail here on the title, right? Bechukotai, in my statutes, right? From an ancient perspective, in my inscriptions, engravings, right? In that which was prescribed, cut into stone or cut into metal in ancient primitive in the Kedem in the first times. Second question here for this Bechukotai, RSS 33. What is the Hebrew word for commandment? And what does it mean, Chaberim? The Hebrew word for commandment is mitzvah. Mitzvah, according to the Afro-Semitic, Afro-Asiatic pronunciation. Mitzvah. Mitzvah. Modern Hebrew, we said as mitzvah. Mitzvah. But mitzvah is from sawa. Sawa. The root verb, sawa. Modern Hebrew, they'll say tzava, tzava. This means to instruct or to command. It's an imperative, an instruction, a command. A mitzvah is a divine commandment, an divine commandment. Now in HaTorah, we have both positive commands and negative commands. And in addition to the positive commands and the negative commands, in HaTorah, we also have positive confessions and negative confessions. And they are far more than the so-called 42 or so of Nebseni, right? I mean, who knew what Nebseni had really said, because they were actually only discovered by people disturbing Nebseni's grave. That was for him in the afterlife. This is for I and I in the living. Question three, what is the central meaning of HaShema, of the Shema? Shema, hear, O Yisrael. What is the central meaning of the Shema Yisrael? Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. What does Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad, hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. The Lord, our God, the Lord is one. What does that really mean? And why is it important?
So what's the central meaning? Why is it important? The Shema, the hear, Shema, Yisrael, hear, Israel, hear, O Israel. That we, that I and I, should love Yahweh Eloheinu, he who be who he be, he be who he be. As we would say elsewhere, it is what it is, our power, b'kol lebaveka. That we should love he who be, we be our power, b'kol lebabeka, b'kol by way of all, call all lebabeka, all of thy heart, lebabeka. Right, this is actually speaking like to us as a collective, as a collective man, right? B'kol lebabeka, modern Hebrew they'll say, more or less it will come out as b'kol lebabeka, b'kol lebabeka. In the ancient pointing, b'kol lebabeka, with all our heart. In the Judaic tribe, a yeshiva student will study Torah, Jah's direction, instruction, the revelation of he who be who he be, 12 hours a day, would pray for 2 hours a day, take care of bodily needs 2 hours a day, sleep or rest the remaining 8 hours. If he continues on this schedule, he will eventually become a gadol b'torah, gadol, big, b'torah, right? Big, or will grow up, become big or great in the Torah, in the directions, instruction. So once again, in the yeshiva, yeshiva come from Yashab means to seat up, When I and I are asked, I say, come, make your seat up. It's the formal term for, we say, the school, the yeshiva. Ancient point in yeshiva, modern point in yeshiva. So a yeshiva student like I and I, right, discipleship, right, study Torah 12 hours a day, pray for 2 hours a day, take care of bodily needs for 2 hours a day, sleep, rest for the remaining 8 hours. Continuing in this schedule, one can eventually become gadol b'Torah, can truly be big or great in the direction, instruction, and knowing that revelation of he who be, who he be. Question 4, what does it mean to walk? It says, if you walk, right? If you walk, if you trod. What does it mean to walk or to trod or to yad in Yahuwah's statutes and to guard his commandments? What does it mean, Chaberim? According to the Judaic trod, this means working very hard to study Torah, working very hard to study Torah, what's known as the Emelim ba-Torah. We should study ha-Torah and the scriptures, as the scriptures, as ha-Torah says, quote, with all our heart and might, with that singleness, right, that singularity, right, that focus, with all our heart, heartical, and might. Question 5. According to John people, the Judaic trod, how many berkot, what's called blessings, prosperity, increases, does one get if they study Torah? How many berkot, right, prosperings, increase, I find increase, does one get if they study Torah? 22. It's said to be 22 berkot. 22, it's called 22 blessings, 22 prosperities increase, right? 22 berkot from ha'aleph to ha'tau. That's to say from the Alpha to Omega, or Hebraically, from aleph, ha'aleph to ha'tau, to ha'taue. The first and the last letters of the blessing, right, or the braka section of this portion. So here in this portion here, the 33rd degree, Bechukotai, there's a section that's known as the Baraka, the blessing, the increased prosperity section of this Torah reading and feeding. So the answer is 22 Berkot, from Aleph to Tau, from Alpha to Tau, right, from the A to T, from beginning to end completely. Question 6, what is customary to do before and after reading your book of Torah? What is customary? It is customary from ancient times, even to modern times, to kiss the book, right, to show your love for John's truth, right, to kiss the book, to kiss the scroll. Interesting that in the scripture says that, and he will kiss the lips of he who gives the right answer. Interesting. Question 7, what does Torah lishma. What does Torah lishma mean? Torah study, right, for the sake of Shemayim. Torah study for the sake of heaven. That is to say, Torah, John's direction, instruction, study for its own sake. Torah lishma. The sages, the ancients, they maintained that the entire world, all creation, iration, entire world is dependent on the study of HaTorah. Now, this Hebraically is known as Talmud Torah. Now, here we're going to have to just pause here, because once you say Talmud, ones who, are halfway along the level of learning, those things are true, but exaggerating the little that they know. So once we hear about Talmud is a Hebrew operative word. It's an operative word, right, from Lamad. Laman, like the letter L in Hebrew is Lamad or Lamed, right, which means to accustom, right? We even have this in the Afro-Semitic, in the Ethiopic, in the Amharic, Telemedet, to become accustomed. So like we said, with the yeshiva study, as one study, they become accustomed. And this is how we learn. Practice, they say, makes perfect, they say. And it's true in Yahweh. So the Talmud Torah, Talmud means the study or the teaching. The word Talmud is the operative word. There's all kind of teaching out there. This is why I and we, called chosen and faithful, Rastafari says, give us the teaching of His Majesty. So the study of Torah, the study of the glory of His Majesty, the B-I-B-L-E, specifically here, the study of Torah, and the love of Torah for its own sake. This is what Torah Lishma means. Question 8. List some of the Berkot, what's called the blessings, the prosperities, the increase, Jah's gifts that Jah promises, His yay and His amen, if we learn, limud, right, Torah, and keep His mitzvot, keep His imperatives, keep His commandments. So let's name some of the Berkot. Some of the Berkot, the prosperity, the blessings. Right, they say blessings, but we try to bring out the real meaning, that increase, that sense of increase. It's peace. One is shalom and prosperity. Bountiful crops. Security for surety. Guidance, itection, protection from I enemies. Fruitful family, life and liberty. And best of all, right, best of all, we are promised Jehovah's presence. His face, His perception will dwell amongst us, amongst I, and in I. The fulfillment of that name, the Immanuel, Immanu with us, El, Hayel, Hayel, the power of the Almighty is with I and we. Rastafari. Yes, I. Praise be the Majesty. Here, question 9, basic question. What are some of the consequences? You say the curses, consequences that we will face if we neglect to learn Jah's direction, instruction, if we neglect to learn Torah. What are some of the consequences? Well, there's various forms of distress, stress and distress, and trials and tribulations, including plagues, enemy sieges, national exile. Note that bitul Torah, the bitul Torah. What does the word, what does bitul Torah mean? It means neglect of Jah's direction instructions, neglect of Torah, neglect of His self-revelation. This is considered the first step away from Ha'elohim, Ha'elohim, the Almighty Himself. Question 10. According to Ha'Torah, Jah's direction instructions, what is the reason? What is the reason? Come, make a reason. But what is the reason the land may not produce a good harvest? In other words, what is the reason, you could say almost for famine or drought or shortages, what is the reason, right, that the land may not produce a good harvest? Question 10 right here. Because the people are not listening to Him, to Elohim, or obeying His truth, right? They're obeying their truth and this one truth and that one's truth, you know, going this way and that way, but not going Jahweh. This reminds me right here of this psalm right here. Is this the part right here? Let's see, is this it?
Scatter all the people that delight in war. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord. Selah.
Okay, no. It's from the other part, the first part of Psalm 68, where it says about dwelling in a dry land, the rebellious. The rebellious will dwell in a dry land. Psalm 68. Question 11. What was one of the main reasons Elohim, the power, gave for the Babylonian exile? What is one of the reasons that Hashem, Yahweh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baruch Hashem, the Holy One, blessed be the name, blessed be Hashem, Yahweh, gave for the Babylonian exile? The failure to observe the sabbatical year, the Shemitah, the failure to allow she to have her rest, the land to rest, the land to enjoy her Shabbat. This is one of the main reasons that Jah gave for the Babylonian exile, and we're speaking about the Babylonian exile of the southern kingdom, of the Yehudim, of the Judahites, even we, the black Jews, of the lion of the tribe of Judah. Question 12, why, lama, why is the commandment of offering tithes, a tenth, given right after the threat of punishment? Why is the imperative, the command, the mitzvah of offering the tithes given right after the threat of the punishment, the tokacha? Because of tzedakah, tzedakah. Tzedakah is often translated and brought out as charity, right? And charity in the sense of righteous giving. But we have tzedek, as in melchet tzedek, we have righteousness. So the word for charity, tzedakah, comes in the Hebrew, comes from the same word for righteousness, like righteous, righteousness, and just. Like we say just, like just, righteous, tzedek, right? Here we have tzedakah. So to the question once again, why was the command of offering tithes given right after the threat of punishment? Because tzedakah, charity, righteous giving, it saves. It saves, it delivers, it saves. Tzedakah, charity, righteous giving, it saves from death and punishment. Reference, scripts, Proverbs, the Mashal, right, of Shlomo, right, the Proverbs of Solomon, 10 and 2 and 11 and 4, 10 and 2 and 11 and 4. All right, trot with me right here, here, here. Let's go to 10 and 2, right, 10 and 2, so we can at least hear it. And it says, Jah has spoken once, this I've heard twice. That means we put it to our memory, right? Yes, I remember the way of Jah. His Majesty. So 10 and 2, right, the section here that speaks on the folly of ratchetness and the wisdom of righteousness, right, the wisdom of righteousness. Verse 2, it says, treasures of wickedness, of ratchetness, profit nothing, no thing, but righteousness delivereth from death. But righteousness delivered from death. Now, I'm looking at the English here, but no doubt in the Hebrew, it's referring to tzedakah. So tzedakah, you know, is charity, right? And the charity, the word for charity in Hebrew connects with righteousness. 11 and 4, next chapter, 11 and 4, says, riches profit not. Riches. Rich. Okay. Well, rich. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness, tzedakah, delivereth from death. So here, 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 once again, the reason why the command of offering the tithes, the tenth, was given right after the threat of punishment is because tzedakah, charity, righteous giving, is saved from death and punishment. Proverbs, two references, Proverbs 10 and 2, the wisdom book, Proverbs 10 and 2, and Proverbs 11 and 4. A couple more questions, Q&A right here. Question 13. Even when the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel, the Israelites, are in exile, are falasha, as we are falashas over here in the West, we the Beta Israel over here in the West, right? But when the Israelites are in exile for their sins, for their fukaries, their ukaries, their fornication under the crown of the king, for their fucks, their ukaries, falling short, missing the mark. What does Yahweh, what does Jehovah promise them? He promises his yea and his amen is to protect them, guide them and protect them, and to always give them an opportunity to turn back, to turn away from their stray way and to turn to Yahweh, his way, truth, and life, to turn back to him, to turn back to Elohim, the true good, the true God, our power. Question 14. Can I list the names, the Shemot, the names of all 10 portions? We have 10 portions here in this third book in the heart of HaTorah, right, the book of Leviticus. Can we name the 10, right, portions, the names of the 10 portions? The 10 portions here in the third book of Moshe, Vayikra, Tzau, Shemini, Tazriya, Mitzora, Acharimot, Kedoshim, Emor, Behar, Bechukotai. Again, Vayikra, 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 and he called Tzau, command, Shemini, ace, Tazriya, she conceives, Mitzora, skin disease, Acharimot, after death, Kedoshim, holy ones, set apart ones, Emor, say, Behar, on mount, Bechukotai, in my statutes. What do we customarily say, Chaverim, Chaverim, when we complete a book of HaTorah? What do we customarily say? We say Chazak, Chazak, Wenita Chazek, which can be translated and brought out as be strong, Chazak, be strong, Chazak, and may we be strengthened, Wenita Chazek. Wenita Chazek, may we be strengthened also, Wenita Chazek, seeing that it is the, this is the Hita Pa'el sense, it's a reflexive sense, so it could be, may we be strengthened, but bringing it out in the Hita Pa'el sense of the Hebrew verb, may we encourage, may we strengthen one another, the sense of it, in the proper understanding of the grammar, the Hebraic grammar, may we strengthen one another, may we encourage one another. Chazak, chazak, we nita chazek. Be strong, be strong. May I and I be strengthened, may I and I encourage one another. Encourage one another to be strong, be strong. Chaberim, chaberim.
Discipleship radio broadcast has been made possible by donations from audience and listeners like you. Give thanks. Thank you very much, Miss Ghana.
Thank you.
find your peace, love, and approval. God bless you for coming to the show tonight. God bless your day,
The assistant priest shall say the prayer of oblation of the apostles. And again, let us beseech the Almighty Lord, the Father of the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMoshiach, Jesus Christos, on behalf of those who bring an oblation within the one holy universal church, a sacrifice, first fruits, tithe, a thank offering, a memorial, whether much or little, secretly or openly, and of those who wish to give and have not wherewith to give, that he accept their ready mind, that he grant to them the heavenly kingdom, power over all works of blessing belongs to the Lord our God, belongs to Egziavihar Amlakachin, belongs to Yahwalheinu. The assistant priest, pray for them who bring an oblation. And the people shall say, accept the oblation of our brethren. Accept the oblation of our sisters and ours. Also accept our oblation and our offering. The assistant priest shall say, Egziavihar Amlakachin Yahuwalheinu, the Lord our God who art almighty, we pray and beseech thee, I, for them that bring an oblation within the one holy universal church, a sacrifice, first fruits, tithes, a thank offering, a memorial, whether much or little, in secret or openly, and for those who wish to give and have not wherewith to give, thine acceptance of their ready mind, grant thou to everyone. Let the recompense of blessing be a portion to all of them, through thine only begotten Son, through whom to thee I, with him, and with the Holy Spirit be glory and dominion, both now and ever and to ages of ages. Amen.
Ever faithful, ever sure. Jah Rastafari, with no apology. And this is the Rastaman vibration.
Rasta is something from the heart, from the heart, from the heart, from the heart.
Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam.
Shavua, referring to the week, or more correctly, like the seven days.
Watch out for your pony, you don't know it's Love Star Music, all right.
Quickly is reward for you and me.
Anta Adonai.
Just
Rastafari.
And when the Lamb opened the seventh seal, silence covered the sky.
The book of life, the book of life. Sip the water from the brook of life.
Take a glass.
Look at the animal in them pot, but them a cook as far as you. What you say, I do. Should be true, but who? True, but who? We can ask, just scorn the wicked, look at life. Them got eyes, pick a knife, but them are not look at life. Them all that dash, them web, them net and look at life. Them said them want them wing to go to heaven, to look for Christ. While them are bow down and a worship them images. I went keep yadding like pilgrimage, the far and ever wrong nor far. So still in me, I dig it, like privilege in all the villages to live.
So life is praises,
for these infinite changes. I don't stop in no wages, when Babylon plague it. Them separate man and woman, lock them in a cage. Them some more sad than middle-aged babies. Them some more bird than shawl and abortion for the ladies for ages.
The book of life pages.
Babylon was near and fear of. But them sad than me a pharaoh. Threw them from far with the spear. Them meet to veneer, like eyesight or crystal clear. You air.
Children.
Food for the children to share. The youth need love and care. Close if someone wear a car with them a stare. Force and money make them eye flare and live in fear. They call us squatters, they crop, they treat us very wrong. Children starving, time so very long. They greet the beg and gush but show them gluttony. Craving for more than enough. No talk about money and religion, make them happy and prosperous. Still I see more problem and that's far for us. From birth to beg and been after us. They got crosses, sepulchres and chops for us.
Vanity.
So many gone straight for that I listen. Last thing was still lean in them get fear fish at them. Still gonna kill like patriots. Them get defeat, no fear, them weapon or them basic chat. Money man, them top them liquor sister and them brother girl all. Chop off them father and them mother know them. Set them search the sky and set them search Nazareth. And set them still can't find
yes,
them.
Yeah.
The book of life, Babylon one hero. When them shadow me a hero. Slew them from far with the fair. The meat is an air. Like eyesight, the crystal clear. Yeah,
children.
For the children to share. The youth need love and care. Clothes and summer wear, a car with them a stare. Force and money make them eye flare and live in fair.
With an ass, it's gone, we can look at life.
Them got eyes with a knife, but someone and you could lie. Them all adopt them, let them whip them, all them who could lie. Let them want them wings to go to heaven, to look for Christ. While them a bow down and a worship them images. Rastafari give you a thing like privileges. It is the first of killing it. Why they give up life privilege in all the villages to live. Watch out! Searching to find love. No hurting, she needs my love. Searching and ready anytime for divine love. I need all in my arms to charm and keep my warm. Oh, and I'll be flowing on and on, from dusk till dawn. She's the one who keeps my bond, right through the storm. So be strong, do no wrong. I need her in my arms to hold, just for warm her when she's cold. Be by your side, so brave and bold. Oh, I'll be in full eye charge. Lightning flash and thunder roll. Let's get close, no, we've got no time to show. Just in case you have never been told, you should know, girl, you're worth more than money and gold. I need a ring, I am to charm and leave my world. Oh, and I'll be flowing on and on from dusk till dawn.
Yes, yes, yes. Shimru al atmekhem. Take care of yourselves. Take care of yourselves, brothers and sisters. Take care of one another. Shavua Tov. Have a good seven to come. Shalom, Chavarim. Shalom.